There's not too much information on the grip. It's super easy to understand, super intuitive. If you have an engine out, a lot of pilots don't know. And this is, you agree with this from your article. They don't remember what their VY speed is. You need to trim out for your best glide to maximize your success at a forced landing. And so that's important. Also, your best rate of climb, which can be important in situations too if you need to get above terrain. I wouldn't say we emphasize those. They were just a natural to include. Our emphasis is on stall and inclination. It's like Wolfgang told us. You know, you gotta keep the turns coordinated and you gotta keep below stall speed.
Did you find much difference between, or confusion where you're sending a tactile signal that's sometimes advisory, sometimes it's warning, and sometimes it's on condition?
We've had absolutely no problem with confusion on interpreting in the pins. If you can remember which finger is your index finger, then you can remember which pin is stall. If you can remember your left and right side, then you know what your inclination indicators are. And then VY and VX, the ring finger and middle finger. I tell you, pilots pick it up in a minute or two, and they remember it. It becomes instinctive. And so does using the grip. They actually like the feedback. This has been what we've gotten back from our flight research. There's no confusion in interpreting the pins, none at all. We've had no pilots complain about that.
And what were the flight conditions when you're doing your testing? Any of it done in turbulence? Were there multiple pins moving at the same time? Any of that kind of feedback that may have caused a level of confusion?
I'll take different parts of that question in order here. The first thing to remember, no two pins click at the same time. You cannot have two angle of attacks at the same time. You're either a VX or VY or stall. It's not going to happen at the same time.
Are you saying that the side slip pins can't activate when one of the other pins is going?
Correct. Well, let me clarify that. No, you're misinterpreting it. They oscillate in out of sync. That goes dot, 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 dot. If you're in an uncoordinated turn and you're stalling, you'll get both signals, but not at the same time. There's 400 milliseconds between the two, which is plenty of time, and it's worked great. I mean, it is the flight turbulence. We've put lots of hours on this thing. The pilots love it. I tell you who really loves it is flight instructors. We've had two flight instructors in our flight test group of 11 pilots, and they came back and they said, we need this for our students. And then they took up some beginners and they said, they've never had a student fly with keeping the ball in the middle like they did with our system. It's just instinctive. You're flying that, you feel, okay, the ball goes to one side, but you're not looking at the panel. You feel it in your fingers, and you automatically correct the rudder. You don't have to look at the panel. And these guys are learning to fly coordinated turns on the first lesson. And that is one of the biggest complaints we've heard from flight instructors, is that it's so hard to teach new pilots to keep them in coordinated turns. Because again, stick and rudder, that's the key to flying safe flight, not losing control. Does that answer your question there about the pulsing? You'd really have to try the prototype. If you can come by our booth, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. It really is nice. In an early prototype, this might help clear it up. In an early prototype, we didn't have that separation. So we said, we got to separate these so they're not getting them both at the same time.
Yeah.
And we did, and it worked perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Did you have any data on, you said you took new students up and they were able to fly coordinated. Did that carry through without the stick, or did they only fly coordinated if they had the sure grip? In other words, is it teaching them to fly this specific stick, or is it teaching them to fly any airplane?
This was in a Cessna 172. So what it does, okay, if you're flying with your pilot, just like I showed in that video there, if you're not looking at the ball, you may not know you're in an uncoordinated turn. That doesn't happen when your hand's on the grip. It triggers your finger, and your immediate response is to step on the rudder, just like you see the ball off center, you step on the ball. You feel the pin on your left thumb, you step on the left rudder. And it's immediate. And it even improved my own turning skills. But it's like an automatic thing. It's instinctive. You have a feel of the attitude of your airplane right in your hand. The fingers are very, very intuitive of what is going on. It's like you've taken, like a bird has a perfect feel of what the air is doing. Now we've taken that, we want that in our airplane. And they say, okay, my flight instructor said, hey, learn to feel this buffet when you're about ready to stall. And you're going, okay, yeah, I think I feel it. With this, it's not a problem. You feel every angle of attack, every out of coordination turn, you feel it right there. It's not a task, it's not a chore. You learn to, all the pilots have told us this, they learn to appreciate putting their fingers on that feedback.
How did you mount the stick on a yoke? You said it was a 172.
There's a picture of it in here, I think. We have the example at our booth. There's a clamp that goes on there. It's an off-the-shelf clamp for like iPads. And it works really good. It just go, you put it on one handle. And down the road, we're going to do a certified grip that the, or a certified yoke for a replacement where the grip is actually the right handle or the left handle.
So I've got a couple of follow-up questions. So now I'm starting to grasp a little bit more than what's in the document.
Unfortunately, we won't have time for follow-up questions. We've hit our 10 minutes. And to be fair to all the contestants, we need to ensure that we are strict with our 7 minutes and our 10 minutes. So, Jack, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming here. We appreciate your submission and all the work that you've done.
Well, thank you very much. I just want to say our booth is being slammed, but still we can squeeze you in, so come by tomorrow. We're in the innovation tent.
Absolutely. All right, Carl. Carl Lawrence is our next contestant. We'll start you back over. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to present this training concept. My proposed solution for loss of control is enhanced scenario-based training. This training could be part of your BFR or your recurrent training. Training is stored in the brain, which you should really take with you on every flight. The cerebral cortex is the conscious thinking part of your brain, where the cerebellum is a smaller unconscious portion of the brain that resides behind the stem. The cerebellum provides very fast reactions, like jumping at a loud noise or panicking at the sight of a snake. It takes about 80 milliseconds for sound stimuli to reach the cerebral cortex, and it takes about half that time for it to reach the cerebellum. Martial artists train their cerebellum through repetition in order to have the fastest reactions to any physical threat. Also, and there are a couple schools of thought on this, but it appears that traumatic events will imprint the cerebellum much faster than repetition. I assume from this that faster learning will occur during stressful training where there is a heightened awareness and elevated levels of adrenaline. I believe we can achieve safer pilots by concentrating this type of training in the cerebellum. For example, let's take a look at maintaining coordinate flight with use of rudder pedals. When I'm flying, I still need to consciously think it through. I need to look at the turn coordinator and tell myself, step on the ball. This may take 500 milliseconds to a full second, which by that time I could end up being inverted. Or if panicking, I might not even look at the turn coordinator. I just may run the ailerons back and forth, and I know through personal experience that doesn't help. Now, Patty Wagstaff and Sean Tucker don't really do this. Their cerebellums already know the proper responses. I have to assume that they react like black belt martial artists, with most actions coming from their cerebellum. When they feel forces acting on the aircraft, most of the time their cerebellum will provide the responses. Kicking a rudder pedal left or right, subconsciously, is like most people stepping on their brake pedal in their cars. Patty and Sean use muscle memory to maintain control of their aircraft. The question then becomes, how can you train the average pilot cerebellum to react like Patty and Sean's? Pilots can attend Sean's and Patty's upset recovery courses, and until their muscle memory is fully developed. Or a less costly and more accessible solution would be to provide a methodology for the average CFI to provide the training. The tools would need to be within budget, and the CFIs would need to train within their aircraft's normal flight envelope, yet provide an experience that is challenging and memorable to the cerebellum. The proposed training methodology is to place the student in a situation that has led to loss of control accidents in the past. These situations will be imposed on the student through virtual reality in a training aircraft and at a safe altitude. The CFI will select scenarios for the student to handle, and the student will maneuver the aircraft based on what they see in the VR headset. And again, this is all done at a safe altitude with the CFI. In essence, we have a true full motion simulator where the student will feel every single force acting on that aircraft, and the aircraft will respond within its physical limitations.